thank you for joining us for today's podcast. My guest today is Mackenzie Gillen. I pronounced that right, I'm assuming?
Yes,
perfect. Great, great. You are a Powerline Technician Apprentice out of Ontario, and you're also a Kick-Ass Ambassador. So welcome, Mackenzie. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you and I have never met in person, but we have many connections. I actually kind of creeped you a little bit on LinkedIn before we did the podcast. We have something like 30 connections. I don't know. I didn't see all of them, but we have a lot in common, even though we're on different ends of the country. We both did Blue is the New White with Josh Zolin, and we both attended the Skills Ontario Women in Skilled Trades and Technology Conference last year, but you were the keynote speaker, which is pretty cool. You want to tell us a little bit about that before we dig into the questions?
Yeah, for sure. So a little bit outside of the trade itself, I do a lot of volunteer work with Kick-Ass Careers. So we engage, educate, and encourage students to pursue the skilled trades as a career path. With my volunteer work with Kick-Ass Careers, I was invited to be the keynote speaker for Skills Ontario just to share a little bit of my background. I didn't see the skilled trades as a career option when I was growing up. I was really motivated to try to pursue more of a university background. But then when I was finishing off high school, I realized that, you know, sitting at a desk isn't really what I like to do. And I kind of fell into the trade that I am in now, and I love it, and I never really look back.
Wow. Yeah, that's really good. I want to hear more about that. So we could just jump right into the questions right away. Your first question is, how did you get started in the trades?
Sure. So when I was in grade 12, I moved up from the city of Barrie to the small town of Muskoka. And I saw firsthand the skilled trade shortage. We needed a plumber to come into our house, and my dad could not get one for the life of him. So he's kind of looked at me and said, like, look, you know, you don't like working at a desk. You don't like going to class. Why don't you consider pursuing a trade? And at first I was a little hesitant, but he said, you know what? Plumbers are making more than doctors right now. It's a great option. And just try it. So I started doing some research, and I'd never really heard of Powerline Technician before. And I stumbled across Powerline Technician on a list of college programs. There's only 4 in the province that offer it. So out of the 30 colleges, I just happened to be on one of their websites. And I started doing some more research into it. And I kind of went behind my dad's back and applied for a Powerline Technician. I knew I was going to be paying the bill myself, and it's going to be me that has to put in the hours for it. So I figured, you know what? He doesn't really get a say. But about a month later, he realized what I applied for, and he wasn't too happy with what I chose. Yes, it was a trade, but it wasn't the trade that he wanted me into. I don't know the full reason behind that. I think it's just maybe when he was my age, the trade might have looked a little bit different as far as safety procedures and fall arrest versus like guys would be free climbing back in those days. So I think that might have had something to do with it. But the only reason he really gave me was, I don't want you doing it because I don't want my daughter doing it. So I said, you know what, I'm going to find other women that do this trade, and you've got to come up with a better reason. So I kind of turned to Google to solve all my answers. Being a Gen Z, we tend to do that. And I found this group called Women of Powerline Technicians, and I reached out to the group, Lana Norton. She's the founder of that. And I said, like, hey, this is my situation. Do you have anyone I could talk to? And sure enough, they had a Blue Jays game coming up that year. Where they'd send a bunch of women that work in the trade, and we'd come in and we'd network and we meet. So I ended up going to that game. I met a bunch of great ladies that work in the industry, apprentices, journey persons. It was a really fun time. So I built up a lot of confidence for what I was going to be doing. I got into my first or top choice of school, Conestoga College. And from there, I was kind of able to do my research, make sure that I liked the trade, and also learn kind of the basics and the fundamentals skills in a controlled environment. So that's kind of how I got into it.
That's really great. One of my questions is going to be about women in the trades. So that's really good that you got into your own group in your own trade right off the hop, even before you were an apprentice. That's really amazing. That can really sway a lot of people. When you see it and you meet people that are in that trade or any trades in general, it gives you a better understanding that you can actually do it, right? That you can see it, be it is what we say a lot, right? No, that's fantastic. So I know you're an apprentice, but the next question is, how far have you explored in your trade so far, let's say?
So my classroom component at the college was 2 years. So the first 2 semesters are in class. Then we have a co-op term, and it's back for a semester, another co-op, and then there'd be a semester at the end. So I did the first two semesters when you're trying to hunt for co-ops, just learn the basics, how to climb, how to frame, how to set up a truck. We're able to do this in a controlled environment on our own time, which is great because, you know, you might come up with a few struggles or even learning how to ground. I really struggled with that. So you have a big, long stick and you add weight onto the end of it. And it sounds like it'd be simple and guys make it look easy. But then when you're trying to, nobody really goes into a gym and waves a stick around with weight on the end. So learning, I definitely struggled with that when I was starting out. So learning the basics, just learning the names of the tools that you're working with was great. And then I did a co-op term. And the first one I went out to Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, to paint transmission towers. So I would be up to about 200, 250 feet in the air with a bucket of paint on my hip. Some towers are smaller, some are larger. But I would just travel around Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, two places that I'd never been, but were always on my bucket list. And just got to kind of see, the views were incredible. I got to see, meet a lot of people in the industry that worked out there. I was able to pick up little tips and tricks from those guys. And then I ended up coming back for my next semester. I threw in a resume for, I saw a posting for Power Workers Union in Hydro One for an apprenticeship. I threw in a resume when I was still in college, along with a couple other co-ops. So I gained a co-op for my winter co-op with Toronto Hydro in their training department. So I got to see a little bit more of the basic training and courses that some of the power line technicians need to take to keep up with the yearly mandates, as well as how they, their apprenticeship system works. And I was fortunate enough to receive a call back from Hydro One and the apprenticeship. I was offered an apprenticeship position before graduating. I did go back for my final semester due to the pandemic. It kind of postponed my start date, but and then with the apprenticeship with Hydro One, I've done my orientation and I'm set to go back for my level one back in March, but I'm just starting to get out with the crew these past few months and just starting to get the feel for what the apprenticeship is really going to be like.
Good, good. So you're getting a good feel of what you're in for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, sure. And it's really great that you could go to the East Coast. I just went to the East Coast for the first time not long ago. It was on my bucket list and it's so beautiful. I said, you know, if I was going to live anywhere else in Canada, it would be the East Coast, but I'm not so sure about their winters because, wow, they get some pretty intense winters. And you cannot have a fear of heights doing what you do.
I always say I'm not scared of heights. I'm just scared of falling from them.
Yeah, exactly. I can't handle that. The older I get, the less I can handle heights. I used to be able to get up on the roof, no big deal. But now I'm like, I'm a chicken. I'm like stuck to, I'm glued to it. I'm like a flattened out cat. I can't move. So yes, you do have to conquer some fears sometimes, right? I mean, it's all part of the trade though, right? And now you're young. So I'd like to think that the young ones have less fear than more fearless than us older tradespeople. So that's really great. So the next question I have for you is what is the favorite aspect of your trade so far?
So far, I love that you can be doing something completely different from the day before. Like even one day, like there's so many different aspects to it. The views are incredible whenever you get out or if I get the chance to go up in the air. But even one day we got a new bucket truck in the yard and it's a double bucket, but it's standard. Most of our trucks are automatic. So now I just learned how to drive standard in a personal vehicle this year. So I'm like, I want to learn how to drive this truck. So one of the guys ended up staying late with me, trying to work with me to drive a truck. And now I'm trying to learn how to double clutch. And it's just stuff that I never thought that, like, you know what, I could be getting paid to be doing. Or even I think I've got snowmobile training next week and I've already had side-by-side training. I've got ice water rescue training coming up. So it's just so many different things combined into one occupation. I find it really incredible.
No, that's really exciting because I didn't think that was part of your training as well. Like that's pretty cool. But that goes to show that a lot of the trades you think you know everything about a trade, but you really don't. There's so much more sometimes, a lot of times, than originally meets the eye. Yeah, snowmobile. I've never been on a snowmobile. That would be a lot of fun to learn, especially if you're getting paid to learn. Of course, that makes sense though, because you need to get to these locations. And driving a big giant truck, yeah, that's pretty cool. Not how many people can say that. Like, never mind how many young women can say that, but how many people can say they know how to drive a big truck like that? Double clutching is just beyond me. Forget it.
There's still got some more practice to do, but I'm working on it.
That's good. And you know what comes up in the podcasts a lot of the tradespeople I talk to is it's never boring. It's true, and no matter it seems like no matter what trade you're in, you're always doing something different. every day. And it's just so it's a challenge, but a good challenge. You're learning, it's never boring, and you're getting paid to do all this fun stuff. So yeah, it's definitely a bonus to being in the trades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next question, what obstacles have you overcome along the way? So now you've had to deal with COVID, which I mean, sucks. Really not much you can do about that.
Yeah. So COVID itself, it postponed my start date by a few months. So like I said, I wanted an opportunity to, you know, expand on my skills. So I picked up some work with an arborist. Again, another thing that I wouldn't expect to be in the trade is operating a chainsaw. So my first year of college, I recommended that we took a chainsaw training course, because we might have to chop down poles, or if there's a little bit of bush on the line that, you know, we're able to handle, we'd be cutting it down. So I figured, you know what, I need some more practice at this. Let's see what relevant skills I can use. So I was able to pick up some work and practice some notches with the arborist, so just kind of see how he worked. Also, I was able to go back to college and go work on the practical stuff. So I was able to learn tons of little tricks that, you know, I could apply for the next 30 to 35 years of my life, which is great. And then when I finally did get into Go Start, of course, we're in a classroom, so you're trying to wear your mask all the time. If you have to travel, you want to make sure that you aren't bringing anything with you for work, because we are a mobile workforce. So that's kind of a struggle on its own, but you're trying to find ways to accommodate for it. Trying to find a washroom and a job site is already a problem or a struggle for most days, but now with COVID, only certain restaurants have their washrooms open, so you're trying to pre-plan, okay, I need to use the washroom before I get in the truck and leave for the day. So, and you always make it work, but
yeah,
it's just little things that you wouldn't think of beforehand.
No. Well, and it's good that you made the most of a bad situation by taking courses and getting ahead a little bit, right? I mean, I can relate. I took a lot of courses last year as well, but and made the most of being stuck at home, which actually I really don't mind. But that's really good. You're kind of getting ahead, and you're still progressing in your trade. So that's really good. So now you've already answered this, but I'll ask it again. Did you have other women to look to for support so far in your trade?
For sure. So women of PLT were a great outlet, but also women in renewable energy and kick-ass careers were also great. So women in renewable energy, what I liked about going to their events was that it wasn't necessarily tradespeople, but it was people within the electrical industry. So one thing I didn't realize was how diverse the electrical industry itself is. So I would go to a networking event and I'd have lawyers, politicians, accountants beside me, because it takes a lot more than just somebody going to go build power lines to make this entire system work. And that's something that blew me away, was that now it's a very tight industry, but it's very wide at the same time. So now I'd be bumping shoulders with people. I'm like, okay, I met you at this event, or I met you here. And it just blew me away, like how diverse the industry itself is, aside from just the trade.
Yeah.
Also kick-ass careers. Mm-hmm. Tons of women that work in other trades as well. Like you're a welder, I'm a power line technician. We're able to talk, and I'm sure if I had any struggles, there's similar struggles that you might have had, that I different things that we can kind of try to find solutions for. Or, hey, this worked for you. Maybe that will work for me. So that's always great to have as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and talk a little bit about kick-ass careers, because I'm in the West. We do have listeners through the United States and from coast to coast in Canada. So just speak a little bit about kick-ass careers. Let's say I don't know anything about it. So tell me everything you can about kick-ass careers.
All right. So Kick-Ass Careers was started by Jamie McMillan. She is an iron worker and an apprentice boiler maker. She started this a number of years ago she never saw the trades kind of as a pathway for her as well. And she wanted to go and reach out to students and say, hey, this is a great career option. Let's try, not necessarily force it on people, but kind of plant the seeds to, like, hey, you know what? These are great options. So she started building up a team of kick-ass ambassadors, which I am one of grassroots men and women to promote different skilled trades. So on our team, we have welders, iron workers, electricians. We have Evan, he's going for aviation mechanics. So we just want to create a broad spectrum. We also have kick-ass kids on board. So Hayden, which is Courtney's daughter, Courtney Shard, she's learning how to weld from her mom. She's very, very good at it and very enthusiastic about it. And then we have Bella, who is a motocross racer. She competes heavily with sports. So just kind of like a bunch of different kick-ass careers, kick-ass pathways, maybe not your mainstream or as recognized kind of backgrounds, and we all come together, we all support each other with what we're doing. And also Kick-Ass Careers, we've also got a book called All the Kids on Builder Street. So it's just a little coloring book for kids in younger ages, because what they find is that by the time students hit high school, it might be a little bit too late to start encouraging the trades, because they've already got their pathway set out, they've already got all of their electives selected, they already know what they want to do. So maybe in the younger ages, where the elementary school ages, if we give them a coloring book with the basic kind of storyline and just demonstrate and highlight some of the different careers that you can have in the skilled trades, maybe it'll kind of start planting those seeds, and we'll see which way they grow.
No, that's really great. And thank you for sharing all of that. Now, I did get to listen to your podcast that you did with Josh Zolan for Blue is the New White. And I listened to Jamie's as well. So I did that. That's where I heard about the coloring books. And I totally agree that hitting, like getting the seed, planting the seed when they're younger is really, really important. I have done not long ago a podcast with a woman in the United States. Her name's Jill as well. And she knew, I think she said at the age of like 11 or 13 that she was going to be an electrician. So, I mean, if you plant it that early enough, and then they do kind of work their career and take their courses around that idea, right? I had no idea what I wanted, but when I was in high school, I wasn't offered shop. So had I been offered shop. So there's still that as well, but yeah, get the information out there and why not, right? I mean, I don't know why people don't push the trades. I think things are changing now, but I think there still is that kind of that mindset that working in the trades is a dirty job and you're not going to like it. But I mean, anybody that wants to make a good living and doesn't want to have a huge debt should really consider it. Not all the trades are dirty either. I mean, there's like 150 trades in Canada, right? I think 50 of them are Red Seal endorsed trades. So, I mean, if you like climbing, if you're not afraid of heights, why wouldn't you do something that you could do? I would never be able to do that, but you know, I wouldn't want to be a baker either. I'm not very good in the kitchen. So you got to find the one that works for you. And my favorite thing is no student loan. I'm not a fond of sitting in a classroom. I never was. So that was one of my favorite things about joining the trades. So for kids that if they hear early on, oh man, I can go and get a career without having to sit in college or university all day. Hallelujah, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so next question is, what does a day in your life look like?
So now that I'm starting to get kind of accustomed to my shop in my area. So for my apprenticeship, I am located about 3 hours from home. So typically on my Sunday, I'll drive up to my location. If I'm new to the area, I'll go drive past the shop, make sure I know where I'm going. And then when I show up in the morning, right now it's winter. So I'll try to go in and figure out, okay, what are we doing for the day? What trucks do we need? Try to get those warmed up, because diesel trucks, especially when you have the hydraulics on the back, they don't like to warm up too much in the winter. So if I can go in and get those started, even just a few minutes before my shift starts, it'll make the day run a lot smoother. So go get everything set up that I can. And that's if we're going out in the field that day. Then I'll go get my driver's log and everything all kind of set up. And then usually 7 o'clock is when we start. So we'll have our morning meeting. And with COVID, a lot of the guys can call in. Some of us will go into a meeting room. I'll just go in just out of convenience, and we'll discuss, okay, well, what sort of safety points have been brought up? Is there anything major that needs to go on? Who's in training? What's going on for the day? Who's on what crew? So sometimes we're very a reactive kind of crew. So say that we had a job planned out for the day and someone struck a pole and we got to go get that fixed. That happened last week, where we had everything set out and everything laid out. But sure enough, right before we started, a pole got knocked over and there were conductors down on the line or out on the road. So right away, that takes priority. So we're running right out to that. So that's just kind of where we just kind of debrief, and then we'll go get all the material that we need loaded up for the day if we didn't do it the night before. Drive out to the job site. Typically we'll bring our coffee or whatever. We cover a very big area. So we might even drive up to even an hour and a half just to get to our job site. So if we know that we're going to be driving a long time, or if we have a planned outage during our lunch break, we would pre-bring our lunch with us. Just to make sure that we have everything all kind of set up and we can work throughout the outage. And we just kind of take our breaks around when the work is, if that makes sense. And then when we come back, like we'd go and go do the job, whatever it is. So it can vary depending on, again, what work kind of came in. It could be a transformer changeout, it could be a pole changeout. It could be a number of things. And then as soon as we finish that up, typically we'll head back into the shop, clean off the trucks with all the material, get everything kind of good and running for the day, and load up the material that we can for the next day. Some days you might come in and you might have training for the day. It really varies.
No, that's good. That's good. And that's another thing about never being boring too. And you and your line of work, I never thought of that until you said that, yeah, if there's an emergency, you drop everything and you have to go, right? I mean, that's not something that ever really happens in my career, unless I'm working at a plant site, then there's an emergency. But yeah, no, that's another interesting part of your trade. So now, do you have any advice for others that may be looking to join the trades?
It's a great path to go into. Don't let people talk you out of it. If it's something that you want to do, go for it. But also don't be afraid to reach out to people and just kind of pick their minds or do your research on it. I remember when I didn't really know what the power line technician trade was. Again, I turned to Google. I found people. There's tons of groups out there that want to support people getting into the trades or even whatever industry it is that you want to get into. Don't be afraid to hit people up. They're there for a reason. Skills Ontario, Skills Canada, they're great resources. They want to help. Reach out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize that how big the skills events were across the country, right? You're in Ontario, and Skills Ontario, I've been it wasn't last year, obviously, but the year before I was, and it's just such a fantastic event. If anybody, has a chance to go, for sure, definitely. I did get to attend Skills Alberta and Skills Canada, the finals, the national event. And it's amazing. It's so amazing. So if anybody is thinking about joining the trades, and if they were to attend, like you said, go and check it out. It's incredible. It's really moving, especially as a tradesperson. And maybe you can attest to this too. When you go and you see everything that's going on and you can smell it and you can hear it and you feel that competitiveness and the pride that they're taking in their work, it's quite moving. It's almost an emotional thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. Okay, so final remarks are yours. Is there anything else that you'd like to share that we haven't talked about or anything you just want to add at the end of the podcast?
Nothing really. Just make sure that whatever you do, whatever you want to do for a living, make sure that it's something that you enjoy, because it does take up a good portion of your life. And I can say from personal experience, it's a lot easier to wake up for a 5 o'clock start versus to go do something that you enjoy versus waking up at 11 o'clock for something that you absolutely hate. So, and it's true, like waking up in the morning here, I wake up early to go to work. It's something that I enjoy. I have no problem getting out of bed, but I absolutely hated going to class when I was in high school. So it's a big difference. Make sure that you find something that you enjoy.
That's such a fantastic point, and that's a really good way of putting it, because I know I've had to get up at some ridiculous times, 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning to be at work at 6, and it's, you know, an hour drive or whatever, and dropping off a kid on childcare if that's part of your life as well. If you enjoy what you do, it's not that big of a deal to do that. But yeah, really excellent point. It was a great talking with you. Thank you very much for joining me for a podcast. I appreciate all the information that you shared from an apprentice point of view. It's so important to include the apprentices in the podcast, right? So thank you. I'm sure that now, being young and in the trade, you've really made a lot of people think. If they were thinking about joining the trades, here you are. You're right in the middle of your apprenticeship. So, and doing something power line, that's, I can't handle the heights myself. All the power to you, no pun intended. We'll work that in there. Anyways, okay, well, I'm going to stop recording now, but stay on the podcast because I want to chat with you afterwards, okay? Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Take care.